Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Eilish, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, the search for the six missing tourists has resumed this morning off the coast of Palermo in Sicily after the Bayesian luxury yacht sunk yesterday in that intense storm that we heard about. And among those missing is Mike Lynch, a technology tycoon of Irish descent, and his 18-year-old daughter. The guests on the boat were celebrating the billionaire's acquittal after he was cleared of fraud earlier this summer over the multi-billion dollar sale of his company Autonomy to Hewlett Packard. Well, I'm joined now firstly by Nick Squires, who's Rome correspondent with The Telegraph. Chris Reynolds is here as well, former head of the Irish Coast Guard and head of the EU security mission to Somalia. But Nick, let's get an update firstly from you. What's been happening this morning?
So, yes, the search has resumed this morning at first light. There's three teams of specialist divers down there off the coast of Sicily, and they've been brought in from Sardinia and from Rome. And they are divers from the fire service with specialist caving experience. Now, the super yacht is lying at a depth of 50 metres on the seabed off Palermo. And these divers have got the huge challenge of trying to get into that vessel to look, sadly, for bodies. Six people still missing. Now, they had a go earlier, but they came up against obstacles. There's a lot of furniture that's been tipped around, as you can expect, as the yacht went down when it was hit by that waterspout typhoon in the early hours of yesterday.
So I mentioned Mike Lynch, who's missing, his 18-year-old daughter, Hannah. What do we know about the other missing passengers?
So the other missing passengers, there's a man called Jonathan Bloomer, who's chairman of Morgan Stanley International, so a very senior financier, and his wife as well. And then there's a man called Chris Morvillo, who's a lawyer at the company Clifford Chance, and sadly his wife as well is missing.
Mm-hmm. Now, we heard about the mast as well. At one stage, it was the tallest aluminium mast in the world. What role is that said to have played in what happened?
Yeah, so it's a huge mast, 240 feet tall. And there's speculation, unconfirmed obviously at the moment, that during this extreme waterspout tornado incident yesterday, that the mast either snapped and took the yacht down with it and capsized it, or just the force of the wind pushed at the mast and basically tipped the vessel over. Now, all that's to be confirmed, obviously. Mm-hmm. British investigators are being sent out from the Marine Investigation Agency in the UK, and they'll be looking at all these circumstances. But at the moment, it's that recovery operation. And we've had the fire service, the spokesperson for the Italian fire service, described this morning the yacht as being like a miniature Concordia. That was the cruise ship that people might recall capsized in 2012 off the coast of Tuscany.
Now, Mike Lynch, who we've mentioned, the billionaire tech tycoon with very strong Irish connections because his parents were from County Tipperary and County Cork, he had just come through this very lengthy legal battle, hadn't he, Nick?
That's right. Yeah, he was found not guilty just in June of inflating the value of a company that he had sold to the tech giant Hewlett Packard for more than £8 billion. And that trial, it was in San Francisco, that legal process had dragged on for years and years and years. He, of course, was very pleased and immensely relieved to have been acquitted of those charges. And we understand that this trip that he was taking with friends and family and business associates was a way of celebrating his acquittal and sort of drawing a line under that affair and making a new start.
And then we have this extraordinary development where his business partner in that company and co-defendant died at the weekend in an incident in England, a road traffic incident.
That's right. Yeah. Tragedy just before another tragedy. So, as you say, the co-defendant, he was simply out for a run in the morning, I think around 10 a.m. on Saturday in Cambridgeshire, where he lives. And he was hit by a car and he was very badly injured and he later died of those injuries. So I think just a bizarre coincidence, really.
Yeah. All right, Nick, thank you very much for bringing us the latest. Nick Squires there with The Telegraph. And as I said, Chris Reynolds is with me now, former head of the Irish Coast Guard and head of the EU security mission to Somalia. So, Chris, you've heard Nick there explain some of the speculation around what might have happened, particularly in relation to that very tall mast. Your read of what occurred?
Well, there's three scenarios online you can see this morning. One, that it dragged its anchor onto a rock and was holed and sank. I don't think that's credible. The second is possibly that a valve blew out in the engine room because of the storm and the engine room flooded. That doesn't look credible. The most likely is that it was pushed over by the storm, and the weight of the mast wouldn't help for sure, whether broke or not, I don't know. But when you lean a boat over, it gets to a point called the point of vanishing stability. And if it gets to that, the boat cannot right itself again. Mm-hmm. It will go down. And that's the most likely scenario. It was pushed over by the wind and possibly by some failure of the mast, and got to this point of vanishing stability quite quickly.
Okay. Now, people will perhaps have read the description of one of the survivors who said she was the mother of the baby. I mean, she held the child above her arms in the sea, which is extraordinary in itself. But she said herself and her partner and the baby were woken by the storm. So they came up onto the deck, which she seems to have been joined by the other survivors there as well, which would lead us to believe that the people who are still missing were in their bedrooms below deck.
Yes, that's almost certainly correct, that the people who were missing were in their cabins, didn't come up on deck. And if you read the reports, it looked like there was no mayday sent out, so it happened quite quickly when it did happen. It looks like the life raft was released by what's called a hydrostatic release unit. So instead of somebody manually launching a life raft, the ship sank and the life raft popped to the surface using this HRU. And that meant that the people had to be in the water first to get into life raft, which is why they're all wet.
So that was an automatic thing, that the life raft
looks like it was an automatic HRU.
Okay, and Nick telling us that the boat now is 50 metres below water, that in itself presents a very difficult scenario for those divers, right?
Yes, I think you're unlikely to see success around what's happening now at the moment. Almost certainly inside of the wreck will be littered with debris, and for divers to go in, it would be extremely hazardous, very, very hazardous. You can use robots, underwater robots, and send them in to have a look and see what's possible. But to put people inside a submerged vessel like that at 50 metres is a very dangerous thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think quite quickly they'll come to a point of diminishing return where safety will have to take priority over finding the missing people.
Yeah, but for those, you know, families who are, you know, waiting for this news, just unimaginable. But there is a possibility, isn't there, that there may be air pockets there in those rooms that they're in that yacht, would you say, at this point?
There is, of course. There's definitely a possibility. And certainly when the Costa Concordia went down, that was the main focus of the divers, that there would be pockets inside Costa Concordia. And we have seen examples, say, for example, off Africa, where a vessel sank to 30 metres and a man stayed alive inside there for over 20 days. In total darkness, in an air pocket in the galley.
So it is a possibility.
There is a possibility. It is small, but there is a possibility.
Now, you have been in areas where these types of storms have hit. You've experienced this yourself. You've seen it. What is it like?
It's okay. So we're used to the Atlantic. If a storm's coming in, we know the storm's coming in. The sea rises slowly. It builds up, and then when the storm passes, the sea fades away over days. That's what we're used to. And we can run from the storm, we can hide from the storm. In the Mediterranean, it hits you like a thunderbolt. The sea rises almost instantaneously. And then when the storm's gone, the sea falls away instantaneously. So you can see calm waters today, the day afterwards. And the waves are different. They're like solid walls that hit you. Instead of being rolling waves, they're vertical, hard walls that hit you. And it is very dangerous.
I mean, this is likely to change this super yacht, luxury yacht industry, would you say?
Oh, there's a shockwave going through the industry now. Certainly, billionaires are forever adapting yachts and making them bigger, bigger masts, longer, to have that extra thing that they have on their yacht that other people don't have. And classification societies are the people who classify these yachts. And they'll look at this, and the insurance industry look at this and say, okay, we have to be more rigorous when it comes to stability and design of these super yachts.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the design, that's likely to change as a result of this. Also, the insurance business around it too is likely to change.
Yes, and we must recognise that the Lloyd's of London are the main insurers of shipping worldwide. and also ship brokerage is heavily centred in London. So it is a UK Marine Casualty Investigation Board that will go out and look at this. I've no doubt they'll raise the yacht. In my mind, that they will raise this yacht to find out exactly what happened. And that is the most likely scenario to recover the remains of the missing people.
Yeah, which is just, it's a dreadful tragedy, particularly when you know about the background to this, that this was a celebratory trip for these people. You know, Mike Lynch, who had been through a 10-year legal battle, was taking people who'd worked on that case away with him for a holiday. And now, you know, you have this dreadful outcome.
We'd know now the time or the place, any of us. It's these things. Unfortunately, this is not a common event. No one on board, I would have thought, had any worry about anything like this ever happening to them. But life just turns like that.
It certainly does. Well, Chris, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. That's Chris Reynolds. We'll be back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.